Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis, and I'm having so much fun on Talk Healthy Today, and I love Foodie Friday. I learn so much, and I get to learn about fantastic recipes, and today we're going to be talking about something new to me, and so I'm pretty excited, and I know you'll be too. We're going to talk about hacking recipes. We've got the wonderful Diana Kulian. She's the author of the best-selling cookbook, The Recipe Hacker and The Recipe Hacker Confidential. Diana, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Ready to talk some recipes with you.
Oh, I'm excited. All right. So, Diana, let's just jump right in. What does it mean to hack a recipe?
You know what? It's just like it sounds. We're going to take a recipe and we're going to take out the naughty ingredients, the fattening stuff, and the stuff that most people have allergens to. And we are going to create the same thing, but it's just healthier for us.
Oh, I love that idea. And especially because there's food sensitivities or there's other reasons that people aren't having certain things. So when did you get started hacking recipes?
You know what? I got started hacking recipes when my kids were really little. And I just had this idea that I want to teach them to eat healthy, but I don't want to serve boring food that, you know, doesn't taste good, but it's healthy for you. I wanted healthy food to be interesting, to be exciting, and to taste really good. So it was really for my children.
You know, I want to mention the full name of your book, The Recipe Hacker Confidential, Break the Code to Cooking Mouthwatering and Good-for-You Meals Without Grains, Gluten, Dairy, Soy, or Cane Sugar. So I would love to jump in. Let's talk about some recipes that usually call for dairy. Give us an example, and then tell us what you'd use.
Okay, yeah, so there are a few different things that I'll do to replace dairy, because dairy, it's typically we're going to be replacing milk or cream or cheese. So for the milk and cream, I'm really big on using coconut milk and coconut cream, which is a lot healthier for us. Yes, and it's easy. You know, you can buy it in the cans. And then for cheese, there's a couple of creative things we can do. One is to make like a vegan cashew-based cheese. And we can do this. We can do this for spreads. We can put it in casseroles, and it gives you that cheesy flavor that you're looking for. And then for, you know, like a Parmesan, like a flaked cheese, I like to use nutritional yeast. And this is actually coming from, I spent a couple of years as a raw vegan, which I am no longer, if you look through my cookbook. But I came up with some really cool ways to take out dairy just from experimenting with vegan food and then raw vegan food.
Well, you know, in the book, too, I just want to mention this. I think it's really cool. You have five things you should know about me. I'm a hacker of recipes. I thought that was really cute. I started cooking at a very young age, but never had any formal training. I'm not technical, and I use the least amount of precision necessary. I'm not perfect, not at eating healthy or at anything else. And I have a purpose to help you learn to cook, eat, and love healthier foods. Well, those are all fantastic things to know about you. So I wanted to bring them up before we continue on with this great interview. So we've got the dairy cover. So I love the coconut cream. I love the coconut milk. I love when you can get a creamy soup and get that yummy mouthfeel without having the dairy. And I think coconut milk is such a great go-to.
Yes. In fact, just yesterday I was hacking this chicken pot pie soup recipe without the crust, but I was experimenting with, you know, adding in some coconut cream to give it that consistency that we want. Of course, it's going to have way fewer calories.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so good. All right. Let's talk about gluten, because that's a big one for people. What are some of your favorite recipes in the book, and what do you use instead?
Well, okay. So when it comes to taking out the gluten, this is usually flours for baking. And so we have quite a few grain-free flours that we can do. And, you know, taking out the gluten doesn't always necessarily mean taking out the grains, because there are gluten-free grains.
Sure.
However, all of my recipes are completely grain-free, because even the gluten-free flours, which are, you know, it's usually rice-based or corn-based, these still have, you know, way more calories and carbs than we really need. So the flours that I'm using are almond flour, which is just very simply ground almonds. And then I use a coconut flour. I really love coconut. You'll see a lot of coconut products in my recipes. And then we can use flax. We can use, there's some recipes I get kind of creative, and I'll use cooked quinoa instead of flour. So there's quite a few ways that we can take it out. Now, in savory recipes, we're typically replacing noodles and we're replacing rice. And so with this, we just use vegetables. So, you know, with a spiral slicer, we can make all kinds of noodles using vegetables. And then for the rice, I'll shred cauliflower, I'll shred, you know, you name the vegetable, I'll shred it and I'll serve it like rice.
See, I think that's such a great idea. Now, in the book, you have some recipe hacker secrets. Number three is invest in a few handy tools. You've got the food processor, the slow cooker, the spiral slicer, juice press, mandolin slicer, high-speed blender, and dehydrator, and mini muffin pan. Now, what spiral slicer do you like best? Because I had one, and I didn't think it worked very well. I can't remember the brand, but I'd love to be able to give people an idea of what they should be looking for when they run out to grab these things.
Well, there are definitely a whole bunch of different models on the market. The one that I have used consistently is the horizontal one. And I also don't have the brand on the top of my mind, but it's the kind where I have a YouTube video where I kind of compare the vertical one with the horizontal one. But I've just found that you can get really good, long, consistent noodles out of the horizontal one. But interestingly enough, I guess there's a product out there. They just contacted me. I think it's called the Veggie Bullet, where it's pretty much like a food processor. So instead of manually turning it, you're like pushing it in and it's spinning itself. So they're sending me one. So I'm really excited to try it because that would save so much time.
Oh, my gosh. You'll have to come back and let us know how it goes because, of course, we're always trying to give people shortcuts any way that we can.
Exactly.
What are other shortcuts when it comes to getting in the kitchen, making recipes, maybe preparing things ahead of time, things we need to have in our pantry? Give us some tips on that.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that I always tell people is you just have to plan ahead. And it's not, you know, it's not cool and exciting, but that's just the facts. You know, we need to, you know, typically what I'll do is on a weekend, I'll just sit and I'll think, you know, what am I going to make this week? What are we going to have for breakfast? What are we going to have for dinners? And it's just a matter of planning and then doing as much of the prep as you can on the weekend before the week gets crazy and busy. And then the other thing that I always do every week is I do slow cooker recipes on Monday and I make sure that it's enough for Monday, Tuesday. So that kind of takes away, you know, the first 2 days of the week are always the busiest for me. And so right off the bat, you've got a wholesome dinner on the table and everybody's happy.
Oh, that sounds so great. All right. Well, share some of your favorite slow cooker recipes with me because I have a slow cooker and I've just been using it to make bone broth, which I love. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's so many other things I could be doing with this.
Oh my gosh, there are. So last week I did a braised beef and the first day we just had it over arugula, so it's a really savory, delicious, tender braised beef. And then the next day, I make these grain-free tortillas, and we made tacos with it. So I love doing tacos and fajitas, either using a grain-free tortilla or just, you know, lettuce leaves. So that's one. Oh, gosh, there's soup recipes you can do. But, yeah, I love to vary it up, vary the protein with these different slow cooker recipes. Because you can do, oh my gosh, you can do anything. You can make desserts in the slow cooker. You can do dinners. You can, you name it. And it's just so convenient because you throw it in there. And then when you're done with your day, your dinner's ready.
That is so cool. Now, let's go back to these grain-free tortillas. How do you make those? Sure.
Okay. Well, one of my kind of classic recipe for it, which is in my first cookbook, it's coconut flour-based. There's no nuts in it. And you blend coconut flour with some baking powder and a whole bunch of eggs, and then you cook it on a skillet basically like you would like a crepe. And so that's a really easy, kind of quick one. And then just most recently, which I haven't even posted the recipe yet, is I made a new one. It uses, we're using some arrowroot starch, which is another really great grain-free flour. And I'm cooking it in the oven. So it's actually a little less labor intensive because you're not having to, you know, sit there and cook each one individually. So you can just throw a whole pan of them in the oven.
Oh, that sounds really good. See, this book is right up my alley. I don't eat a lot of grains because they make me tired. And so this is exactly the kind of thing. But you have that great mouthfeel in so many of your recipes, like the quinoa egg muffins. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so I love egg muffins because, I mean, I have two kids who are, you know, the mornings are a struggle. And so having something that's really quick, yes, something that's quick and half the time, something they can literally grab and take with them on the way to school. So the quinoa egg muffins, it's eggs. We have some cooked quinoa mixed in. I think that recipe has some ham and some veggies. So it's so easy to do. I mean, just mix a big bowl up, a whole bunch of eggs, a protein, and you can add in quinoa. And then you put it in muffin tins, bake it, and they'll keep for a few days in the fridge. So you literally have your recipe, your breakfast, ready to go for the next several days.
You know, another thing I love is sweet potatoes, and you have a great sausage and sweet potato skillet. I mean, I could eat that breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yes, and I love doing hashes and just like skillet meals
too.
Because it's so simple, but it tastes so good. And it's like, you know, whatever veggies you have on hand, if you have some sweet potatoes on hand, whatever protein you have on hand, you know, just to cook it in a skillet at home, it's simple, it's wholesome, and it's just something that we can all do.
Now, what advice do you have for people who have recipes that they love, that they grew up with, but they're really rich, or they have ingredients they don't want to use anymore? How do they know the measurements? For example, it calls for a cup of milk. Would that still be a cup of coconut milk? Because coconut milk is thicker and creamier. Or, yeah, how do you figure that out?
Sure. Okay. Well, there are some, you know, things that you can swap out that pretty much work across the board. But some of them, it depends. You know, I mean, sometimes it could be a recipe for baking that calls for milk, or it's something like a soup. So depending on how you're cooking it, it can differ. But really, across the board, if you want to make something, take out the refined sugar, make it a little less sweet, lower in calories, you can switch out refined sugar for coconut palm sugar, and you can do that one-to-one. So if it's a cup of refined sugar, you can instead use a cup of coconut palm sugar. Now, what you're going to find is it's not going to taste as sweet because it's, you know, it's a lower intensity of sweetness, so you're actually saving yourself on calories. But that works across the board. Switching out almond flour for regular, you know, wheat flour, you can do that one-to-one, and that will work, you know, across the board. Stuff like coconut flour gets a little bit tricky. This is where a little trial and error comes in on my part, because coconut flour is going to absorb so much more of the liquid in a recipe than a traditional flour would. So there are some things that, you know, you kind of have to experiment with, but as far as just wheat flour for almond flour and then refined sugar for coconut palm sugar, you're safe on doing that.
Now, do you ever use Xyla? Because I'm a big fan of Xyla, but I notice that when I bake with it, everything gets a little more puffy. I don't know if that's the right technical term, but it just gets a little, it's not like if you want a nice flat chewy cookie, it kind of like puffs up and it's almost like more muffiny. Am I doing something wrong or do you not cook with Xyla? Because I'm a big fan.
You know what? I have a friend who is a big fan and she actually gave me a bag of it and I haven't used it yet. I know that she does. I can tell you that, you know, non-sugar sweeteners are definitely different to work with than traditional refined sugars. What I've done is, for the most part, I'll use coconut palm sugar or I'll use some raw honey, and I'm slowly kind of starting to swap out a percentage of that and replace it with liquid stevia, because as we know, liquid stevia is zero calories and, you know, it's not going to impact your blood sugar at all. Whereas the wholesome sweeteners, yes, they're way better for you than refined sugar, but they still do contain the calories and they still will affect your blood sugar to some extent. So that's kind of the direction I've been going, is, you know, reducing even the wholesome sweeteners and then adding in stevia to taste, to just get, you know, the correct sweetness level for taste buds. But yeah, as far as Xyla goes, I should probably start messing around with it and see what I can do.
Yeah, check it out. Well, you know, I just got something called Swerve, which is a lot smaller of a crystal. I mean, it's really, really like soft sand almost. And it's erythritol and oligosaccharides. I'm not a scientist, but it also has no impact on your blood sugar and it's supposed to be good. It's really sweet. I haven't baked with it yet, but I'll buy like unsweetened coconut milk beverage or unsweetened almond milk. And I'll just put a tiny little bit in of either that or Xyla. And then I'm, you know, I don't have to get the sweetened kind for my daughter and she'll still drink it. So I think little things like that work too.
Yes, absolutely. And I think part of, you know, changing your habits in this way, there is an adjustment period. And there is a period of, you know, letting your taste buds get used to this new flavor. I know for me, stevia took me quite a while to where I didn't feel like, oh, there's an aftertaste. So I think, yeah, just starting to incorporate, you know, something like that where you're using a zero calorie, you know, but it's wholesome. It's not, you know, made in a laboratory in place of refined sugar, and just, you know, taking it slow and letting your taste buds adjust to it.
Well, you know, I want to jump back in this fabulous book of yours. Something that caught my eye was the pizza casserole, especially because I rarely eat pizza. Although I will say a few weeks ago, we got a pepperoni pizza. Yes, I ate pepperoni pizza. We got it from Whole Foods. And I have to say, their crust is incredible. So if you ever want to be decadent or you just want a treat. And, you know, I was proud of myself because I had two pieces. See, in the past, I would eat the whole thing and then I'd feel sick. But this, I had to share with the rest of my family. So,
do you know what they use in their crust? I'm curious. Is it grain free?
No, it's not. I mean, okay. It's just a typical, you know, it's like the white flour with some of the wheat germ put back in. But I mean, it's just fluffy and wonderful, and the pepperoni is, you know, free range or whatever. It's just really good stuff. But yes, that's an occasional treat. So let's jump into your pizza casserole. Tell us what you got in there.
Okay, so I saw a recipe online for pizza casserole, and it used like traditional spaghetti noodles and a whole bunch of cheese. And it's kind of like, you know, you throw these noodles and this cheese into a casserole pan and you bake it with the pepperoni. And I thought, okay, let's pack this. So I took a sweet potato. And we put the sweet potato through the spiral slicer. So now we have these long, awesome noodles made out of the sweet potato. And then I made kind of a hearty, I guess it's a spaghetti sauce, if you will. And I used some sausage and tomatoes and olives and just a really hearty, delicious red sauce. And then put it over these noodles in a casserole pan. And then threw on some nitrate-free pepperoni. And baked the whole thing. And it, you know, as you're eating it, you're getting all the pizza flavors and you've got the fun noodles that are, you know, they're tender after you've baked them. And so that was just kind of a little creation, that something that the kids really love. And at the same time, you know, my husband and I will eat it and enjoy it as well.
Oh, that sounds so good. Now on the back of the book, you have something very decadent. It looks like a brownie with something in it with chocolate chips or nuts or more chocolate dripping out of it. What is that? Because that looks,
you know,
amazing.
What this is? This is my hacked Snickers bar.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did this. Somebody requested this a couple of years ago on my blog. And so I kind of deconstructed a Snickers bar. And there are, I think there are three layers to this recipe. So there's like a cookie layer at the bottom. And then there's nuts thrown on top. And then I have this caramel sauce that I make using coconut palm sugar and coconut oil, which, oh my gosh, it's so good.
Sounds so
and then,
good.
Yeah, and then topping the whole thing with some dark chocolate. So yeah, that is, I definitely love to hack decadent recipes because we need to have some fun.
Nice.
But at the same time, we don't have to, you know, completely wreak havoc on our bodies when we're going to have a treat like this.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, if you give up everything, then you're going to go nuts, right? And it's nice to have something that reminds you of something. You know, another great thing is cauliflower, which you mentioned earlier, that you can rice cauliflower is like all the rage now. You have several different cauliflower recipes in your book. What's one of your favorites?
You know what? I really like the cauliflower couscous, which I kind of figured this one out on accident. I was boiling cauliflower to make, I have a faux fried cauliflower recipe, and I kind of boil it a little bit first so it's nice and tender before we make it crispy. And so I boiled an extra head of cauliflower, and I was like, all right, you know what, I need to make cauliflower rice now. So I shredded it once it was already tender, and what the result was like a fluffier, like softer cauliflower rice that kind of had a more mild, the cauliflower flavor was more mild, so I was able to add in, you know, some other stronger flavors. And so I just kind of called it couscous because it made me think of, you know, like a tender, soft couscous. So I really like that. And then more recently on my blog, I hacked a cauliflower risotto. So it's, oh my God, I made it for Thanksgiving, and it's super creamy. I used coconut cream and nutritional yeast, and I also shredded some celery with it. And I think I threw in some, like, dried cranberry. But anyways, it was just, like, this creamy, decadent side. And I think to date, other than the faux fried cauliflower, that's probably, the risotto is probably my favorite cauliflower dish.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to have to make that. Now, we've all heard of kale chips, but chocolate kale chips? I want to hear about this.
You know what? Oh, some friends of mine had a bag of chocolate kale chips from, like, Whole Foods, and I thought it sounded so weird, and I tried it, and it was actually really good. So I just decided to make my own version at home. But that's the recipe everyone flips to. I think it's, like, right in the center of the book, and it people, like, open to that, and it's like, what is this? But it's one of those things that I could try to describe it, but you just have to make it, and then you'll get it.
I can't even imagine. I like dark chocolate on anything. I will have to definitely try those. You know, you also, I don't know, I keep going, I must have a sweet tooth today. I keep going for all the sweet recipes. You have a coconut milk ice cream. Now, do you just use an ice cream maker, or how do you get it as thick? Talk to us about that.
Yes, I do use an ice cream maker, and it's just really simple. We're using the coconut milk and some wholesome sweetener. And you just throw it in your ice cream maker like you would, you know, regular ice cream. It doesn't take as long because the coconut, you know, coconut will get firm when it gets cold. So it's like half the time of making regular ice cream.
Oh, that sounds so good. Well, I have to let you go in a few minutes. I mean, I could talk to you all day. Tell us about some of your other favorite recipes in the book. Let's look at garlic. I mean, I am such a garlic fanatic. What's a good main dish that you utilize garlic in?
Okay, let me think about it. Well, I have some. My husband's family is Armenian. And so my mother-in-law, I actually talk about her quite a bit in here because she, she's a huge foodie, and her food is definitely not as healthy as it could be, and so I have a lot of fun hacking her recipes. But there are she definitely cooks with a lot of garlic. So let's see, the stuffed cabbage is one that calls for a good amount of garlic, and what I've done to make this healthier is we're not going to be stuffing it with rice. We're stuffing it with some proteins. And then, you know what I have that has a fairly strong garlic flavor is the ginger meatballs. I think it's a noodle bowl.
Ooh, I love ginger, too.
Yes. Mm. That one, there's some Asian flavors. I have a couple of kind of noodle bowls with some Asian flavors, and I love, like, fresh ginger and fresh garlic. There's it's called Chinese noodle bowl. So that would be one that has a really good garlic flavor. But I love garlic. I definitely use it a lot.
Oh, isn't it the best? I think you're great. I just was about to say, I love you.
Thank you.
Diana Koulian, you've got to come back. The book is A Recipe Hacker Confidential. Break the code to cooking mouthwatering and good for you meals without grains, gluten, dairy, soy, or cane sugar. Tell us all the ways we can find you on social media.
You know, it's
a great book.
Real Healthy Recipes is like my Facebook and all of my social media. And realhealthyrecipes.com is my blog. And actually, right now, I still do have some copies of the book that I am giving away for the cost of shipping. So if anybody wants to jump on there, it's also available in bookstores now and on Amazon. But yeah, realhealthyrecipes.com is the best way. You can jump on my email list, and every week I send out a handful of new recipes. So that's the best way to get a hold of me there.
Oh, fantastic. Diana, this has been so much fun. I can't wait to get in my kitchen and hack away. I hope you all will do the same. So glad you're listening to Talk Healthy today. I hope you go to iTunes and subscribe so you never miss all the fun and all the recipes. And of course, on Tuesdays, we talk everything health and wellness. You can also subscribe on RadioMD.com. So I hope you do. Thanks so much for listening and stay well.